Minutes, we're going to be talking with Hayden C. Hughes. Mr. Hughes is an official researcher of unidentified flying objects and other unexplainable phenomena. He is now in his home in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. He is the number one man to go to for information these days on Momo, who is a giant hairy biped. Momo smells like sulfur. And it isn't just his smell, but the fact that he likes to grab dogs and rip them apart that scares or tends to cause anxiety in the hearts of many of the residents of southern Missouri. We'll find out about Momo and some other rather unexplainable phenomena after this word.
This is Stan Freeberg speaking high in the Himalaya Mountains in northern India. I'm standing next to this particular creature. Just what is it you are?
A little of each, that's right.
I see, then you are the abominable snowman,
that's right. I never cared for that word abominable too much, Stan. You mind if I call you Sam?
No, not at all.
Well, I never cared for abominable, but it's the nearest word translated from the original Hindustani, which was Abominable Mayo, which means the hairy one with the big feet.
Yeah, I can see you lost something in the translation. I was noticing your...
Noticing my fingers.
Quite large. Yeah, what are they, about 12?
Are you kidding? 12, the size 23.
That's pretty big.
Well, it's functional design, you know. Did you ever try to walk on snow with ballet slippers? Roller skates?
Don't you have a little bit of trouble buying them? I mean,
well, I just can't walk into any old store and buy them. No, I haven't officially made up for me.
Where do you get them?
Well, when I don't have the chance to drop by Abercrombie and Fitch, I send up to Spalding, they make them up for me. I have them in four colors, the white, the red, the pink, and the orange. I'm wearing the orange today.
Oh, that's very nice.
Well, that's the particular ensemble I put down today.
Oh, it's not much of an ensemble, is it? I mean, it's just the shoes.
Well, it's an ensemble to me, Some of us aren't too well off as others.
Well, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Oh, that's all right.
It's all right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
All right.
All right, fine. What is it you do for a living? You terrorize the mountains?
That's right. I terrorize the mountain climbers who come up here. That is my trade, and I am proud of it.
Is it hard work? You have to do a lot of training?
Well, I don't think everybody can do it, you know. They don't have the hair for it, for one thing.
Well, the sneakers, say you're quite tall, you know. What are you, about 8, 9 feet?
No, I measure in around 10 and a half, buddy.
10 and a half feet tall? That's pretty tall.
You think I'm tall, you should see my brother. He's got center for abominable state.
Oh, sorry, I missed him. Have you had a pretty good day's work today?
No, it hasn't been too hard. Today's no fun.
You done much terrorizing?
No, not too much today.
Well, I wonder if you could give us a demonstration before we sign off of whatever it is you do to
terrorize the mountain climbers?
Certainly. Well, what would you like me to do?
Well, just stand about there and close your eyes. Close your little eyes, and I'll sort of sneak up behind you and let fly at one.
Let fly with one what?
Whatever you mind, we'll turn you back.
Well, I think I have a
game on. Anyway, we'll turn you back, please.
No peeking.
All right. Don't you open your eyes, man.
I won't.
All right. I'll just sneak up behind him. I'll tippy-toe. Which is hard with my feet. Right on there. That's off your ruddy complexion. Very nice.
Gee, that was effective. Well, I guess your time is up.
Oh, that's the same. Sure you don't have time for a quickie before you hit the pike?
No, you don't. But you forgive me. I gotta get back to work.
I see a mountain climber over there by the edge.
Oh, nice meeting you.
Nice meeting you, man.
Nice to see a man happy in his work.
On the line right now is Hayden C. Hughes and Mr. Dan Garcia, and they are both officials in the International Unidentified Flying Object Bureau, and they're talking to you from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. And we've had some trouble with the telephone contact from there, and just hoping this can both come through loud and clear. I can hear a lot of noise anyway. Are you there?
Yes, good.
Okay, very good. Mr. Hughes and Mr. Garcia, I'm hoping that most of the listeners have heard of MOMO, but I remember hearing first about it on one of our NBC newscasts about 3 weeks ago. It was a final item, and your organization was mentioned as having classified this being as a hairy biped, a giant hairy biped. May I ask where that term came from?
This term originated in 1970 with a study the Bureau undertook of approximately 300 UFO landings, where we took the description of the most commonly reported being associated with the UFO. We found that this hairy, long-armed biped standing on 2 feet was the third most commonly reported being. When the Bureau started receiving news accounts of this type of description from the Louisiana-Missouri area, we thought that it warranted an on-the-spot investigation to determine, to see what MOMO, or this Missouri monster, really was, if it was, in fact, one of our Type 3 UFO objects. So we went to the Missouri area. We located approximately 20 people that either observed, saw, or have smelled the very strong odor associated with visual observation. There is no question that something unusual and strange is in the air.
Can you tell me the first sighting that you have on record of this latest hairy biped?
The sightings in and around Louisiana have persisted for the past 16 years. We took our accounts from 300 out of approximately 1,500 UFO landings around the world. One of the most recent cases happened in Vader, Washington in 1970, where a dome-shaped UFO was observed by several area residents. And these strange tracks that were somewhat similar to the tracks found in Louisiana were found coming out of the middle of a snow-covered field. The being was observed, and the description given was basically the same as MOMO. It is a leading theory by Bureau officials that this is an experimental animal in the form of something like a psychological experiment to possibly test men's reaction to something a little bit different than we would think like to be. In other words, history bears out the fact that the Earth has been apparently under surveillance by an advanced race of people. I believe that these people, these aliens, the percentage of UFOs that we cannot explain, about 20%, are observing our planet and existing economy. Our friend Cole can understand everything about mankind itself, our so-called sophisticated spaceships and technology, everything but man himself. And I think to test man before an actual face-to-face confrontation with the alien, that an experimental animal such as the Type 3 might be employed to test man's psychological behavior. This was why the Bureau was interested in the report and why we were down there.
I see.
Possibility that it was a hoax. We had the possibility that what the people were saying was a bear or a gorilla. And we had another possibility, seeing in that of a troglodyte, in that Missouri was known as the King State. It's quite possible that some form of civilization, these beings, were living in the highly cavern area. I will add that the Bureau has, over the past year, received reports of these strange beings from 5 continents and 13 states within the United States.
Do you know if any has ever been reported in the state of Ohio to this being?
I do not believe so. There's not been to my mind about it.
I read in the newspaper that it was a family named Harrison who first sighted Momo in Louisiana, Missouri. And for the benefit of the people listening who may not be familiar with his appearance, could you describe him as he was seen through that young lad Terry Harrison's eyes as he first laid eyes on what we now call Momo?
Well, I think that's the answer to that.
All right, this is Mr. Garcia.
Yes. Terry described what he saw as a huge, hairy animal, which is the word that I believe he used. He saw it, he became terrified of it, he ran screaming into the house, and his 15-year-old sister, Doris, looked out the back of the window, which is facing the back of the house, and saw this. He described as a 6-foot hairy animal or creature swaying back and forth, standing there. They ran into the house, or they locked the doors in the house, called their mother and father, which is Mr. Harrison, and when they went back to look out the window, it was gone. Now, the boy has seen it and said he saw it holding a dog under its arm, I believe it was. That was when they first became acquainted, so to speak, with Momo. About a week after that, they heard it in the hill behind their yard coming down. They became terrified and ran out of the house, and since then have not returned to the house.
Dan Garcia, when you said they heard it, does it make noises? Does it growl, or does it menace with its voice, or did they just hear the noise of it coming?
The sound has been described as anywhere from a loud growl to a deep, grunting, deep wolf sound on a short note. Now, when it makes a longer sound, it starts as a loud, deep growl, a wolf sound, and proceeds to a high, shrill sound, as if an animal or a woman screaming or something along this line, a high, shrill sound towards the end.
How many people in Louisiana, Missouri have seen it in the past month since it first appeared?
It has been estimated. It's been estimated as many as 50 people. We actually located the 20 people that had either heard, saw, or smelled it. And to me, the smelling reports are the most significant outside of the visual observation, in that your eyes can mislead you, because most sightings outside of the Harrison observation were at night. Theirs occurred at approximately 3:30 in the afternoon. Your nose will tell you the truth. In other words, the very strong odor has been described from a musky to a burnt nostril to it would have made you sick if you had anything in your stomach, which indicates to me, in any event, that something is there. Mr. Harrison was extremely concerned over the safety of his family. He's the father of 9 children, with 7 children at home. He moved them to relatives within the town of Louisiana, which is a small town of approximately 4,500, sitting right on the Mississippi River. He returned at lunch and after hours. He worked with the Board of Public Works there for 21 years as the foreman of the water department. Trying to catch a glimpse at night, he had hung some hand line from a nearby tree in an effort to lure the great Missouri monster nicknamed Momo to the specific location. He was called in last Monday by his supervisors, and he reported to us that he was told that he could not put monsters of the night and do the right job during the day and work for the water department. Therefore, he had lost his 21-year job. He told us he felt like it was his responsibility to his family to find out what was on their property. We are now receiving reports from the towns surrounding the Louisiana, Missouri area of similar type reports. Although while we were in Missouri, Louisiana, we did talk with people who we had heard had observed the thing, but when we confronted them, they admitted that they were just going along with the story. There was one hoax uncovered in Illinois where a simple Halloween costume was found, and this was picked up by the press and explained as the Momo being a hoax. I might add that the Bureau has received many reports of this type within Oklahoma of recent date that did not make the wire services or the national news publicity. And it so happens that this was after the convention and before the Republican convention, and it was just moved on the wire service.
I see. Well, the only physical proof that you have that there actually was a monster are the footprints, is that correct?
No, sir. We have several forms of evidence, and the evidence depends on one's constitution of proof and what you determine the evidence to be. We have visual observations, we have sound heard, described as very frightening, and we have the smell associated. Mr. Harrison did find some tracks in the ditch where his boy Terry reported the thing to be. He made plaster appearances for us and turned these over to the Bureau for scientific analysis. He also turned over to the Bureau some hairs which were found near some of the tracks. Now these casts were brought, plaster hair casts of the footprint, were brought to Oklahoma City. They were turned over to Mr. Lawrence Curtis, director of the Oklahoma City Zoo. He examined the cast and made the statement that it was hard to deduce too much. Looking at all known animal tracks, they are not prints made by a living animal. And based on their examination, because in my opinion, he could not identify them, they were concluded to be fake. When asked how they were fake, he said possibly with rubber gloves. I talked with Mr. Harrison and asked him, did he use rubber gloves when he made the plaster of Paris prints? He said, no, sir. I said, did, and explained to him what the zoo said about him being hoaxed. He said, I can't understand that at all, because he had located several, and he showed them to us while we were there, and they were about 5 feet apart. So, it was determined by the zoo that because they couldn't identify them, the tracks were a hoax.
There's no big problem that relate the legal experts to this fact. Other things that were submitted.
Yes, in December of 1970, there were some strange tracks found around El Reno, Oklahoma, which is to the northwest of Oklahoma City. He analyzed these, he compared them to humans, apes, monkeys, bears, and other animals, and made the statement, I don't know what it is. It resembles a gorilla, but it's more like a man. Because he could not identify these, he said that they were also fake. So the error at this point turned over to Mr. Curtis for analysis. He had told us previously that they had all types of animal hair there to compare. Recently, he told the Bureau that it was difficult to say exactly what it is. But we can say this. We have given him two hairs. The hairs are found different animals. One of them, in our probability, came from the dog. This supports the report I carried that he was holding a dog, and there are three dogs missing from the area. And he stated that the other one, in our probability, came from the raccoon. But he added, we're really not sure. This was based on transmission of light through the hairs and the structure of the hair itself. Now, I will admit there was a possibility that the tracks were not from the animal, only that they were found where the animal was first standing. The bear was extremely hard to dry, and that the hairs may not have possibly been from Bobo, and that they were just retrieved from the specific area. I hear you to say I have received no reports of a 7-foot raccoon.
Well, you ought to come to Ohio sometime. We have them. yes, we talked about it. Just a moment, gentlemen. Let me tell everyone again that we're talking with Hayden C. Hughes and Dan Garcia of the International Unidentified Flying Object Bureau, and we're talking to them from Oklahoma City, and the connection is not as good as we had hoped it would be. We've called them twice now, but the telephone lines just are not living quite up to par tonight, but I hope you're able to understand what these gentlemen are saying. We've been investigating Momo, the monster, in Louisiana, Missouri. Have there been any recent reports of activity by Momo, Mr. Hughes?
Well, let's say we have received additional reports from surrounding towns as recently as 11 o'clock this morning. I certainly believe that there is more than one of these things due to the difference in size, characteristics. Some are reported with a reddish brown hair. Others, such as Momo, with a black stiff tail. The basic description of Momo is that of approximately 6 to 7 feet tall, with a short or no neck, face almost completely covered by a 2 to 4 inch gray shag fur, all except the chin area, which remains partially clean. The arms reach to or below the knees, and he was observed either from waist up or swaying back and forth. The most recent account we have is one similar to this, although not identical, near Joplin, Missouri. I believe that Momo, or I should say a relative of Momo, was shot in Wisconsin in the mid-60s. This being was preserved in ice and put on public display through carnivals throughout the Midwest for several years.
And I've seen it.
Right, it is the same of Bozo.
Yes, I've seen it.
This thing, which I have also seen, fits the same description down to a T as Momo. And it was the conclusion by Ivan T. Sanderson, science editor of Argosy magazine, and scientists from the Smithsonian Institution and Harvard and MIT University, both admitted that specimen, which was an adult, male-like thing, differed from all types of modern men by 6 characteristics. And 5 of these characteristics have been reported in association with Momo. So it is quite possible, in my opinion, that Momo is a related being of some kind, ancient, something like a Neanderthal-type man living in the caves of Missouri. Therefore, a technical name or a popular name we could apply to Momo would be that of a troglodyte.
Yeah, this is WKYC in Cleveland. We're talking with Hayden C. Hughes and Dan Garcia. There was one element of the description of the monster that I didn't hear from you, which I did hear on a few of the newscasts, and they mentioned that it seemed to many people that the being had eyes that glowed in the dark. That sounds really like science fiction. Have you heard anything about that?
True. This description basically came from our classification of our top three occupants. In other words, this is a description of the third most commonly reported, and in the wire services, it got mixed in some incidences as sounding like it was coming from Louisiana, Missouri.
But it wasn't actually a characteristic of Momo.
The description of the eyes did not fit in the Louisiana case.
Gentlemen, if such a being should appear anywhere within the radius of our signal tonight, and we cover about all of the eastern United States, if someone in Kentucky or down in West Virginia should come across something like this, what is the proper procedure?
We urge that if anyone sees a creature or being of this nature, that extreme caution be used. We do not feel that these creatures are going to harm anyone. Rather, they seem to shy away from the human. This may be that they are not familiar with humans any more than we are familiar with them. It's kind of a standoff situation. And, they would be curious, I think, is more the word for it. And, they do seem to possess great strength. They are extremely fast, according to all descriptions. And if attacked, I would assume that they would in self-defense hurt someone. We are, in this instance, and we have come across the Momo case, have been urging that if there's any way at all possible that one of these creatures or beings can be taken alive, by all means, to try, because it could be one of the greatest anthropological signs of history. However, we do urge everyone to use extreme caution, use as good as judgment as to whether they would want to try it or not.
I have one other question, and then we'll see what the people listening have to ask you. And that question has to do with that smell, that sulfurous smell. Is there any theory as to why any living creature would exude such an odor?
The only theory I can advance at this time would be due to the fact of the shaggy hair and the staleness also associated with it, living in close quarters or in caves. In other words, he would definitely need a deodorant of some kind.
Apparently, from all reports. Well, Mr. Hughes, Mr. Garcia, is it all right if we try to pick up some phone calls from our listeners on this end?
Sure.
All right, I hope that they will come through clearly. If you have trouble understanding them, I'll try to translate, or at least to transcommunicate for you. Our number here in Cleveland is 578-1400, 578-1400 for Dan Garcia and Hayden C. Hughes, talking to us from Oklahoma City. And you're on the air, please. You have to speak up rather loudly so that our guests in Oklahoma can hear.
Good evening, Clyde.
Good evening.
I have before me what is a letter from Mr. Ron Olson, North American Wildlife Research Organization. And they're attempting to capture and locate the Bigfoot or the Sasquatch, which is located in the western United States, in the Rocky Mountains. And the Momo almost sounds like the It's a big Sasquatch or a Bigfoot. It's sort of the North American abominable snowman. And it almost sounds like he's a little bit out of place, but it could be the same thing. Have you contacted Mr. Olson concerning this?
Yes. In regard to the gentleman's question, we have since January of this year been in negotiations with the film company in question, American National Enterprises, in an attempt to obtain part of the Peterson films as well as the duplication of the sound. As I said, the North American Wildlife Research in Eugene, Oregon, is making an all-out effort to document as much as they can pertaining to the Bigfoot. It's interesting that the footprints that were left by Momo, although they are approximately 8 inches wide, that was a wide river glove, are not of the length that is commonly associated with the foot. In other words, it's not 16 or 17 inches in length, it's merely around 6 or 7 inches. I would add the width and probably it is not a 16 or 17 or 18 inch tall footprint. It does, however, match the drawings and measurement of the footprint of this thing in ice that it was referring to earlier.
For the Bigfoot, then, it is a possibility that the creature, the Momo, is not an outer space visitor, and that therefore it could be something that's, well, you might say, limited to this, but living in the Rockies, in the mountain areas, for a long period of time, has not been actually discovered.
This is true. This was our troglodyte theory, that it is something that's been living here all along, and in all honesty, I will lean more towards the troglodyte theory than I will our alien visitation. Although while we were in Louisiana, Missouri, we did encounter and investigate some UFO sightings where some objects had come down in the hills and were reported by not only police officials, but 12 witnesses at one time.
Have you compared all of these eyewitness accounts and pictures, or I should say the evidence, with Earl Knapp and asked him to compare his sightings of creatures from UFOs? Are you familiar with the DNA files of Earl Knapp?
Yes. Although I have never personally corresponded or talked with Mr. Knapp, I am familiar with the research he has done, especially along the line of the uncovering of the Academy report pertaining to UFOs.
Sir, thank you very much for your question.
Thank you.
Go ahead, please. You're on the air. Excuse me, Mr. Garcia, listening in Oklahoma City. Can you explain that one? Well, still, can you top that one? We'll take another call. Go ahead, please.
What's that? You've got too many people on the line, are you?
John, now that you're on the line, I'm in too with you. What question do you have?
You're on the line. I don't know. I thought I had somebody else.
John, we're talking with two gentlemen in Oklahoma City. We're paying the phone bill. So ask the question. Yes.
Well, let me mention about Country Cooper, because he admitted there was Country Cooper that chewed the mouth, but and also there was a scribe how he looked at 7th Street and got much as a fuzzy face. Now, why did he call the United States Army and the National Guard in it? Because the fact John this monster.
We have found that, unfortunately, the police department is tending to slow down these reports as much as possible, whether it is that they do not want the publicity and are trying to keep the publicity down. We do not know. We don't think they're censoring, per se, any information regarding T-Mobile. We do know that after we were down there in Louisiana, Missouri, that the cooperation by the police department became a little less and less on a voluntary basis. They seemed to be a little more reluctant to cooperate with some of the news media after we were there.
I'd imagine that the people who live in that area, Louisiana, Missouri, are generally considered very sober Midwesterners, people of the land, aren't they? This must be a little embarrassing to them to have something like this come out from under a rock in their area.
Yeah, and they are, after all, Missouri is a sober state.
Yeah.
And the people there is no middle ground. The people have either heard it, or seen it, or smelled it, and believe that there is something there. And the ones that have not had any of these happening to them, are kind of wet back and they don't really believe it, but there is no middle ground with the people that would say, well, maybe.
Yeah, I understand. But we'll try another song. Go ahead, you're on the air.
You mentioned before that they thought that this biped was in outer space. And I'd like to know, now they researched other alien sightings and everything, right?
Yes.
Okay, what percentage of them were friendly towards, contact with friendly towards humans?
In our investigation, we found that 80% of the cases could be attributed to natural phenomena.
20% of the cases are unexplainable. Of these, a leading theory is that we are under reconnaissance by an advanced group. Of the three most commonly reported beings, we have the most common is a 3.5 to 4 foot tall being apparently a life size man with an extremely large head. He's usually clothed in a silver or black tight fitting suit, much like a diving suit. He is usually accompanied with a weapon that has a stunning impact and not lethal. He appears to be the most friendly of the three. I do not have the figures before me on a percentage as to how many cases are friendly or not. Certainly the top three on close confrontation, they react violently. But when observed from a distance, they appear to be curious and thoughtful. In other words, they only react in my opinion violently when they are interfered with or are disturbed. And this is why we urge that they be approached friendly if they are to be approached and with extreme caution. Because man's reaction to them is to shoot them first. The people of Louisiana armed themselves, 150 strong was reported, went up into the area, which is a up to 3,000 acre area, a very thick and close area. Surrounded by many caves, it was almost impossible, you know, to find any place there. Then the police, several days later, conducted a search with approximately 20 people and found nothing. As a result of this, they are highly skeptical of it. But it is indeed interesting the type of reactions that the alien beings give when they are concerned.
Okay, I have another question. This is supposedly a test for humans, so this is what your institution thinks, right?
Yeah, it's one of the theories
offered. If it's a test, why did they put Mono and his cousins and everything in a place like Missouri? Now, I was in Missouri a couple of weeks ago, and most of it is fine and everything. Why didn't you put it in a more populated area?
As I said, usually, when you study psychology, you find that you do not, get involved with the test subjects. And I think certainly your rural community are your more easygoing people. They're not caught up in the rat race of the city. Certainly the people, in my opinion, that live in the country, they will notice the weather more, they will notice the beauty of the trees more, and possibly be more meaningful of life. And that it concerns, you know, their cattle and the weather, and just being more noticeable a thing in the winter.
Not only that, Mr. Hughes, but as a former New York resident, New York City resident, I think Momo could walk right down 6th Avenue and nobody would take a second look there. In Missouri, they would, but not in New York. And here in Cleveland, I've seen people walk down the street here on our big main street, Euclid Avenue, without any pants on, and nobody looks around. So it would have to be a place like Missouri if there were to be any reaction at all. Thank you for the call, man. Momo has never been sighted wearing any kind of clothing, has he?
No.
Well, listen, I have to do a commercial right now, and that's my lead-in to it. We'll be right back with you. Not if you want to, one of the greatest buys of your life. Get down today to Clothing Factory Outlet. Now, CFO has got double-knit blazers, double-knit slacks with a combined value of $90 both years for only $39.75 this week. How does CFO do it? Well, they bought out the entire overruns at two outstanding manufacturers. The blazers, completely hand-tailored, they're fully lined. They're 100% polyester with belted back and brass buttons. Very cool-looking, and they're made to sell for $65. The slacks, too, are hand-tailored and flared. And they're made to sell for $25 a pair. So think of it, a double-knit sport coat worth $65, knit slack selling elsewhere for $25. They're beautifully hand-tailored, and they're both yours for only $39.75. This week at CFO. There's more to choose from. They've got wool tropical suits for $90, now $39.75. New fashion wide ties, $8.50, now $1. But there's always great savings for you at CFO at 2530 Superior Avenue. That's where you take the elevator up to keep your clothing costs down. They're open daily 9 till 6, and Sundays 10 till 5. And all Momo needs there is a nice blue blazer with buttons and those flared slots. He fit right in New York. Got the right length hair and everything. Well, you can try another call of you. And you're on here. Go ahead.
Yes. In regards to this creature, didn't a few years ago, when they investigated the Donald Snowman, I think back in the 50s with Lowell Thomas, didn't that creature also give off a strange odor like sulfur?
The smell of sulfur has been attributed to other animals, yes.
The only difference there is it was, it was also long and scraggy, but it, that was pure white, if I'm not mistaken.
You're probably correct, yes.
And one other question. Didn't they, about 4 or 5 years ago, didn't they have sightings in either South America or Brazil?
Well, yes, they've had some since then. More recently, they've been found in Argentina.
It's funny that they had not investigated these sightings more. You know, it seemed like they were dropped. These come into existence. Now they're pushing to find out what they are. Why was the research dropped a few years ago?
It's really hard to say why it was dropped or if it was dropped. So many times these observations occur in
control. Okay, that was just a couple of questions I was curious about. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. By the way, speaking of other sightings, as I told Mr. Hughes before we went on the air, we had a call from Earl Neff before the show, and Earl gave me the number of a lady who had information on a sighting, I think somewhere in Kentucky or Tennessee, and Hayden Hughes has been informed of that. And Hayden Hughes, I know from this newspaper account that you went out on the intercountry at night to look for this thing, didn't you?
Yes, sir, we did.
Well, sir, what would you have done if you had found him out there?
Well, in the fortitude of our office, I can say I would have the scientific curiosity to go up to it.
Huh?
In the event, he had walked up to us and tapped us on the back while we were standing out there on the Harrison property, we may have been the first one to cross the river. We had hope of camping out all night in an effort to try to record the sounds associated with him. At approximately 9:35 on Saturday evening, the scene was there, Mr. Harrison received a telephone call from a gentleman on the other side of the mountain, advising him that the train was just heard over there. We got into our car, we drove around to the area. The police were notified, they came out. The area was restricted and people being on top, but we did receive special permission for our investigation on top of the hill. We did conduct a nighttime search again with these policemen less than 15 minutes after the ding was heard. We did not observe, smell, or hear, or were successful at all in reporting it. We returned to the Harrison house. After some time, we did go back to the motel to get some badly needed sleep so we could start interviewing people the following day. The trip to the Louisiana area from here was a 1,300-mile trip, which was quite taxing on Bureau officials.
Mm-hmm. I can easily imagine, but I'm really very impressed by the fact that you went through all that trouble. And I hope someday you will get what you want on tape, and I hope you'll call us and play it for us when you do.
I would say this, Mr. Thomas, that the Bureau will welcome any reports of unidentified flying objects or alien being sightings or Momo sightings. We can be reached at box 1281, Oklahoma City. And if anyone would like any free literature, I would be more than happy to mail them some literature pertaining to UFOs.
Box 1281, Oklahoma City. Can they write to you by name, Hayden Hughes?
That would be fine.
Fine. It's H-E-W-E-S, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. I think you'll get some responses on it.
These are due. We have no publications we offer for sale. I am U.S. editor of the Canadian UFO Report magazine, professionally published 4 times a year. And I said, I will be more than happy to mail a free company to anyone upon the trip.
All right, sir. Good. We'll try another phone call, 578-1400, Hayden Hughes, Ben Garcia. Listening, go ahead.
Hello, guide?
Yes.
Question without a comment first. The gentleman said that they didn't know whether there was anything like a Momo ever reported in Ohio. Well, I was reading last week, since the Momo was accounted for, that there was something like this out of Kirtland, Ohio, about 100 years ago. And all the people were up in arms, and they were out in the woods and all, and they were sleeping, and one of the boys didn't sleep, so he went out and he heard something. So he climbed a tree and hear this thing came underneath him. So then he talked a little more about it, and it said something like, could this be the Momo that's in Missouri?
Hmm.
Now, I have a question. Who employs the gentleman that we're talking to? Who are they employed by?
What was the question? The listener wants to know who you are employed by.
Well, this is Ben Garcia. I'm employed by the state of Oklahoma.
Oh, but you're not employed by the government.
No. Okay.
Well, I think you're saying it's such a strange
order. We do this at our own time, at our own expense.
Excuse me, because of the way this telephone hookup is arranged, our guests in Oklahoma were not able to hear your last question. Would you repeat it again?
Since the strange odor, and they want to approach this being, animal, whatever it is, why don't they use dogs to locate it?
Dogs have been used in searches. The dogs will bark very acutely until the thing growls and gives off this high-pitched shrill, and then the dog will not bark or have anything to do with it again.
Oh, really? Okay. So then if you can locate it somehow by using the dog, now how about using some kind of a dusting powder in an area that you could pick it up by radioactivity or something like this?
This is also possible.
With powder, fluorescent.
If we have the necessary funds to go in with a full-fledged expedition to have tranquilizers and really go through the mountainous area, it is very possible that we could capture the thing alive. But we are working at our own expense, at our own free time, in an effort to try to determine what Momo is.
So it isn't I thought it was a government project.
We are hampered going into it with that sophisticated of equipment.
But, all right, sir, thank you very much, and I hope someday it will be a government project.
Okay.
Go ahead, please. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering if Mr. Hughes is saying that the UFOs are landing these, monsters, Momo, landing Momo.
He wants to know if possibly that UFOs are landing monsters like Momo. And the report in the newspaper here did mention several fireballs that went over a tree right before the Momo was sighted. Is that the correct report?
We did uncover several UFO observations in Louisiana. One was observed by as many as 12 witnesses. They were described as fireballs, varying colors, that came down in the hills. We were unable to find any specific landing area, but that does not rule out the possibility that they are from the UFOs. I would say, based on evidence uncovered, that it is more probable that they are ancient, non-human type, something like the missing link, or troglodyte, that has lived, as the gentleman said, from Ohio, before going back as far as 100 years. And I think history will bear me out that it goes back further than this, over 5 continents, and it's very possible that it is a living, missing link.
That whole theory that there is a kind of a species of man or ape that is the bridge between creatures that look more like apes and creatures that look more like men, this has been kicking around for a long, long time. And if we were to find one of these creatures and bring it into a laboratory and actually find that it was half man, half ape, and that we all descended from it, do you gentlemen have any idea what this would mean to religion and philosophy? Have you ever thought about that?
Yes, sir. I have talked with a lot of people pertaining to the religious side of it, and for some, the belief that that there is a higher intelligence elsewhere than our planet is very hard to say. In other words, the supreme conceit of modern day man is that we're the highest in creation after the Creator. It is very possible that it will shake up many religious beliefs if something like this is found to be the missing link, or if it is found to be from another inhabitable world. I look upon in my Father's house and many mansions that our earth is but one pebble on the beach in the overall community of other inhabitable worlds. And as our own astronauts and cosmonauts are entering into space and to the nearby planets, I think that it is very probable that one of these other beings stepped off of their world and have been coming here since our recorded history. Curious is that we are a life form, but throughout our history, we have been confined to our own planet. And now, we are no longer confined to our planet, and I think they have become concerned that we're going to bring our history of wars into a possible peaceful society of space and have done no more than stepped up a peaceful economy. Now, we have evidence to support this in that with every major scientific development of man, there has been an increase in close UFO observations.
If I may, I might add this in regards to the aspect of religion. At our UFO symposium here this year, we had a man from New York, but he's a Presbyterian minister, Dr. Barry Downing. He has a book entitled, what is it, The Bible and UFOs. And he is a man in strong faith, and I asked him point blank if some of his observations in regard to UFOs and the Bible were ever borne out to be true, and that we were, as said, a transplant from another world, what he thought it would be to the faith of the people as far as religion went. And he said that he did not believe that the faith of the people would be tripped up, so to speak. The people would have faith, and that's the same way as we could take the atomic bomb and all of the modern technological advances that and could probably agree take up that the people would probably fell down and still keep the faith regardless.
Well, we may soon find out. I don't know. But in any case, to both you, Don Garcia, and Hayden C. Hughes, good hunting, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for spending this hour with us here in Cleveland. Good night.